This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, we are here with the Young Pope After Show. Tonight, we're going to cover Season 1, Episode 4 and 5, and the Pope is missing, so stay tuned to find out where he's at.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's the Pope's theme song.
Walking in slow motion.
Do you think the Pope works out?
He has to work out. The ladies were, I'm sure the ladies were screaming on all the booty shots.
Yeah, I was wondering what you thought because
he looks like very in shape. He looks like he's in shape.
I'm sexy. So, yes, guys, welcome to the after show for the Young Pope, and this is the Pope's new theme song. Because when he gets ready, he must listen to this song.
The Pope, he's got all his servants. They're blinging him out. They're putting the necklace on. They're putting on the ring, the red shoes, the gold chains. He's popping out.
His new tiara that like got blown by a helicopter.
That's right. That's right. They shipped it.
He's sexy and he knows it, and he really does know it.
And he always says, I know I'm very good looking, but, you know, trying to concentrate on God.
Yes. So what's up, guys? Thanks so much for coming back. We are here live with the Young Pope After Show on AfterBuzz TV, and tonight we're going to cover episodes 4 and 5. So, again, my name's Jesse Zahner. You can find me on all social media at Athletic, and tell them where they can find you, Al.
Hey, everybody. I'm Al Gragg, a.k.a. The Reverend Al G, a.k.a. Young Papal, and you can find me on Twitter at SoundClashCine, and follow me on IG at Al G_JamaicaHouseFilm.
Okay, well, let's get right into it. I don't want to start with the show itself, but the intro, because you guys know I'm obsessed with the intro. Mm-hmm. Between episode 4 and 5, they changed the song.
Yeah, but I kind of loved it, though.
Did you?
Only because I feel like that gives us something new to look forward to every week. Yeah. I have a feeling they're going to change it up every week. I hope so.
I think they are, too.
Did you Shazam the song?
No, I didn't.
I did. I'll pull it up on my phone
later. Was, like, so depressed because, like, the first two episodes I was all hung up on. What the heck? There's no intro. Then 3 and 4 had the intro, and I was like, this is a badass intro.
Yeah.
And then episode 5, I'm like, wait. Like, this song doesn't go with what he's doing.
What happened to the Jimi Hendrix sample,
you know? And then I was like, he's not going to wink at us. He can't wink because the song was, like, sad. But he still winked at us, but he didn't knock the old Pope over or whatever that thing was.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. So I'll look forward to.
There's so many layers to him, you know.
I know. That's true. So aside from that, we get introduced to a new character these episodes, Tonino. Mm. And he is, like, if I saw this guy in the streets or just heard this news story, I'd be like, this guy's nuts.
Yeah.
But he is healing people, and he has the stigmata on his hands.
Bananas.
Yeah. And he sees a sheep, and he claims it's Mary.
Yeah. Old Tonino, you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a character straight out of The Godfather.
Yeah.
Like, when Michael gets sent to Italy, and he's, like, the young farmers, or the Italians who are, like, the shepherds. He's, like, that kind of, like, everyday Italian guy, and, like, I guess he's finding God. He's finding his own movement. We'll see.
Well, and that's the thing is, how do you differentiate between, is this a guy who is telling the truth? Is he really healing people, or is he, like, schizophrenic and nuts?
That's the thing. We don't know. And, I mean, that's the thin line I always think between, like, God and supernatural and, you know, is it coming from God or is it coming from somebody else? Because clearly, as we find out later, this young Pope Lenny, I think he has healing gifts, too.
Yeah. He could. So it's going to be interesting to see Tonino's part in this series, because later in the episode we see him on the news and he basically says, if the church doesn't recognize me, then I'm going to make a church of my own.
Power play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Yeah, I kind of like it though, because, you know, that's the one thing with, I think that that the young Pope didn't realize is this strategic move to fall back and have mystery has kind of left a vacuum and a void for this guy to kind of take out, take over the grassroots following.
Right. So later at the very end, we see the Pope and some of the cardinals, like, in his house. And I'm trying to determine, like, was that a hallucination or did that really happen?
I think it was real. I mean, they were squatted up.
Yeah,
they were all, there was, like, a Mother Mary. They're all in the form of a Trinity. I mean, yeah. They look gangster.
They definitely did look gangster.
Yeah.
It, like, made me wonder, like, is this what the Pope does with his cardinals? Like, they show up at...
I don't know. They bum rush at your house. They walk in and they wait in your living room.
Well, and then their message was like, "You busted our balls."
Straight out of like The Sopranos.
So I was like, "What? What is going on here?" Because I was like, "Oh my God, this is so sweet! Like this Pope is going to actually recognize this guy as this healer in the church, and his dreams are finally going to come true." And then they're like, "Well, yeah. You busted our balls."
Yeah, we don't know. I know if he plays ball, or he's gonna. I think the Pope's gonna get a pound of flesh out of him, something, or at least an ounce.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where that goes. But in the meantime, we have a whole different kind of scandal happening. As we have been leading up to this point, Vuoiello is out to get the young Pope. So he's really on it now, and just as we expected, he's trying to create a scandal between Pius and Esther.
And he's blackmailing everybody in between them, you know?
Yeah.
He's blackmailing Gutierrez, and he's... And the thing with Esther, he's actually asking her to go sin and to try to tempt the Pope into a sexual relationship because he has evidence of her other affair.
Right. And that I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it's so selfish, and he doesn't even think about how selfish it is. But one thing Esther says is, she says, "I don't want to be involved in this public scandal."
She keeps saying, "And I don't want to sin anymore."
Right.
Yeah.
And Voyello's like, "Don't worry, it's not going to be public because we're just going to threaten him with it." But he doesn't even think that how this could destroy this woman's life.
Oh, he doesn't care. And I think that's how he's been operating the whole time, you know? What was the one thing I was going to say about... Oh, but here's the only way I could kind of, like, keep my eyes on Vuoiello and the young Pope as well, is that they both have these moments of frailty, of doubt. God, forgive me for what I'm doing, and self-reflection. Not that it justifies it, but, you know, you see a bit of their humanity in spite of, like, you know, how callous and, you know, cunning they are.
Right. So when he's talking to Esther, he's blackmailing her as well. And I just thought this part was really weird and I wanted to bring it up. But did anybody out there notice that he, like, is in the middle of talking to her, he casually leaves the room, shoots pool, and then comes back in and starts talking to her like nothing happened? I'm like, did he make that shot? Like, what's going on? Like...
That's what I love about the show. It's so quirky. I had no idea what that was about, but you know what it made me want to do? It made me want to, like, stick my neck out and look beyond the frame and see what's going on in the other room. That's good filming. They do a lot of tricky stuff with eyeline, too, and point of view, and I think that's going to come up later.
But, like, what does it mean? Do you think it means something, or is it just a random thing? Is it just something that came up in taping, and he's like, I'm just going to walk back there and do that, and they just ended up going with it? Or does it mean something?
Well, I think every frame means something.
I think so, too.
But at the same time, you know, it's not beyond any good director. You know, this guy, Paolo Sorrentino, you know, if you get a gift on the fly, you're supposed to go with it. This guy has a good record. You know, we're talking about his other films, you know, that he directed, and he's worked with Sean Penn. You know, I didn't know he was this good of a filmmaker, and I'm impressed.
Right. Yeah. So I'm thinking it means something as well, because just everything that he's done so far in the series has been outstanding.
Mystery. It's just more mystery.
It is a mystery.
What is he doing that we don't know?
I'm afraid that this is going to turn into a show, afraid in a good way, that this is going to turn into a show similar to Westworld, where, like, I'm going to watch the whole series, and then it's all going to make sense, and then I'm going to have to go back and rewatch the series and pick up on those little things that I missed the first time around.
Yeah. The good thing about this compared to, like, all the other, like, British, you know, big series on HBO is that I can understand them when they're in the American accents. But even sometimes, you know, when the Italian popes speak with a thick accent, I gotta, like, rewind it and, you know, watch it again.
Yeah.
I know, right?
I'm the same way, actually.
Okay.
So later, Vuoiello shows back up, this time at Esther's house. He breaks in and she tells him, you know, I've tried. Like, it's impossible. I can't do this. And Vuoiello tells her, you have to keep trying. You have to seduce him. He's had all these girlfriends. And one of my favorite parts of this whole episode is she says, I could try to talk to him. He respects me. And then you hear this weird little giggle come out of Voyella.
That was crazy.
I know. And he was like, I was about to laugh, but... And he, like, put his hand over his mouth just like that.
He's such an asshole.
And he's like, I was about to laugh, but I stopped myself because I have a certain class. It was so funny.
Yeah. These people screwed up, man. Yeah. They're like the darkest of the dark.
Right. So he's just basically saying, like, he respects you. The Pope doesn't respect anybody. Yeah. So, like, he thinks
and almost like, I don't respect you either for knowing that the Pope doesn't respect you.
Right.
Or not knowing that, you know, she doesn't get respect like that. That was weird.
Yeah. So aside from that, you know, Voyello has all this stuff going on. So he's trying to create the scandal. He has this guy spying on Pope Pius.
The snitch is always in the background.
Yeah.
This weird, like, the blonde guy, the creepy guy.
Yeah. He's trying to get pictures, and he's also at the same time, like, struggling in his relationship with the Pope. So he talks about when he's going to speak to the cardinals, and Pius says, you know, I'm going to wait and create anticipation. And then the other thing that he brings up is the court case, where he talks about Gutierrez, and he doesn't think Gutierrez should go. And the Pope is hilarious because he brings him to the statue that Voyello's been lusting over, and he tries to have the conversation with him there in front of the statue, basically saying, you know, that they somehow get into the conversation of getting rid of homosexuality in the church. That's one thing, because Voyello says that Gutierrez doesn't care, he shouldn't be the one to do this, and so they start talking about homosexuality, and then Voyello says 2/3 of the clergy is gay, you can't do that, and we'll get around to why he was saying that later.
Okay, but and two things came up, or just occurred to me at that point. One, that's when it comes out, like, hardcore right-wing conservative, I guess spiritually, the young Pope is.
Right.
Because have you ever heard that argument, you know, that the people, you know, who tend to be on the right will link pedophilia with homosexuality.
Right.
And that's where he's at. And
right.
And obviously, Voyello's like, yo, you know what I mean? It's like, there goes half the church right there.
Yeah.
But on the other thing, I don't know why, everything always kind of comes back to me with Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, spoiler, if you didn't watch it, but, like, when Jon Snow is killed, the guy who kills him and betrays him, you know, is his one of his lieutenants is basically like, I'm doing this to save, you know, our community, our group, our army. And it's the same thing. You know, Voyello thinks he has to take out his leader to basically save the future of the papacy.
Right. So do you think that Pope Pius is actually telling the truth when he's saying we have to get rid of homosexuality in the church, or do you think that this is for another reason that he's doing this?
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. I just kind of, that's the one time I took him on face value that this is actually what he believes, but that's the problem. We never know what this guy believes.
Right.
He's almost like a split personality. We talk about he's kind of a sociopath, but it's like you can never really truly know him. And that's
right.
And he said that.
So one reason that I asked that question is because later we see him with Tommaso, and Tommaso says to him, you know, a weird thing's happened in the last day.
Mm.
And he says, all of a sudden the priests are recounting their sins with women, sharing the most intimate and embarrassing details. And the Pope says, huh, somebody must be spreading a rumor that I'm going to punish homosexuals. So that made me think he said that to Voyello just to see if Voyello has been spreading rumors about
him. Of course. He knew he was going to run his mouth.
So I don't know if he's going to punish homosexuals in the church or if he's just doing this to...
That's true. But to me, the funniest thing I got out of it is that all the popes, or all the cardinals were in there bragging, yeah, you know, yeah, back in the day I did this with this chick, and, you know, I did that, and I was getting my swerve on.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like, sitting there listening to that in the confession booth.
I mean, especially because it's not something that they've been confessing, so
of
a sudden, out of nowhere, Tommaso's just sitting there, and he's just, like, hearing them chirp in his ear like this, like, everyone, person after person after person. So,
yeah, all these explicit sexual experiences.
Yeah.
All those cardinals were like ex-players, I guess.
Yeah.
They were all balling out there, slaying the ladies.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
So outside of that, you know, again, Voyello and the Pope are struggling, like, with a power struggle here. And he says, don't send Gutierrez to cover the cases in America because he doesn't care. He's an alcoholic. And the Pope's like, yeah, I know he's an alcoholic. And he's like, what if I know all the secrets?
And your secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. The young Pope is always two steps ahead of it. And this is where, like, okay, the name, it's kind of obvious, the young Pope, this new Pope in town, that whole kind of tag of the show. But this is where, you know, where he really drives home that he is a new Pope.
Right.
Because Vuoiello's playing the old game.
Right.
He's playing that old Machiavellian politics. And the new Pope is kind of like this new Machiavellian, you know, politician.
That's exactly what he says. So he says, you're playing this old game. It might have worked with old popes, but, and he says it at this moment. He says, I am the young pope. It's not going to work. And it's so funny because as they're having this conversation, he's like angry and he's like, how far will you go? Are you trying to start a scandal with something that, you know, is not really happening? Will you stop at nothing? And while they're talking, the pope is like up on this ledge walking and Boiello's down below. And then they stop and he's like looking over top of him.
And that's what I loved about the direction, this filmmaker, man, because a lot of the films, when you manipulate a scene and you'll block it, so one person kind of towers over the other, but when they widen out and reveal, they're kind of like standing on equal footing. You know, it's just one person's maybe taller looking down. He was literally like 6 feet above him. That was a bananas reveal. That reveal was crazy. And, man, Vuoiello, man, he just felt like so exposed and just kind of like, you know, just kind of like the gutless, you know, jellyfish that he was. He got exposed.
I felt like at that moment, the Pope was really taking the power, like,
oh my God,
completely under control. Like, I felt like Vuoiello felt like he was totally stripped of his power and he was just like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, I don't know. Not to get ahead, but some of the scenes where the other cardinals come to either kiss his hand or even kiss his feet. I mean, it's like emasculating. It's bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. So aside from that, we have Esther this episode, and I'm starting to really like Esther. Like, I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Like, she's so sweet.
She's the real deal, I think.
Yeah. So she, you know, they have this moment early on in the fourth episode where Pope Pius says, you know, you remind me of my girlfriend, my first girlfriend, only prettier.
I think is manipulative because I would never say that to a chick unless, I mean, you know, I had intentions. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Unless.
Yeah. Especially just with everything that's going on behind closed doors.
Oh, still, he wants to mess with their head. He enjoys the attention.
Yeah, so she tells him that her and Peter can't have kids, so he tells her to pray to Mary. And we see all these prayer scenes where he's teaching her how to pray, and also, like, they're saying the same prayer, and she's, like, sitting in a pool outside her house.
And this is where I was, okay, you guys call me crazy. This is where I predicted, like, where you see God move, or the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In spite of all these corrupt people, you know, where their gifts could be used around, I really believe that's the show saying, like, that's God working.
Yeah.
The young Pope has these gifts. And while they're all praying these intercessory prayers, you know, for Mother Mary, you know, to intervene and grant her this gift, you know, of pregnancy, I think it's gonna pop. I think it's gonna happen because remember when he's walking by their house and he literally sees them getting on through the blinds.
That was
crazy.
I know. So it's so weird because he's looking at Esther like he's like weirded out that they're saying the same prayer at the same time. In the meantime, I'm weirded out that she's in a pool. Like, what is she doing? How many times have you gotten in a pool and stuck your head out and just been like, I'm gonna pray right now?
But the only time I even like remember seeing those little kiddie pools, aside from kids playing, is when a woman wants to give a natural birth and like be somewhat underwater.
She's in there. Okay.
I don't know if that's to do with it because obviously right now she's far
Maybe
from having
right.
a kid, but I just got the whole idea. I just in my head when they were in sync, I just thought, okay, you know, the sperm is fertilizing the egg, you know, conception.
Well, I was
gonna
like,
happen.
Why the hell isn't she gardening or like mowing the lawn? Like, why is she in the pool? Like, it's just so weird. So maybe you're right with that.
We'll see.
So we see Esther, you know, she's learning how to pray from the Pope, and I actually, like, liked that moment because I think that he had a lot of really good things to say there. I'm not super religious, but he says, you know, praying is not like a list of requests. You have to pray in a different way, and so she starts praying that way. But she keeps wanting to, like, confess things to him. And it's so funny because just like you said, he's two steps ahead of everybody else. So she keeps wanting to confess that, like, I want to sleep with you or, whatever.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly when that time comes. Mm-hmm. And he says, pray in your head, confess in your head. Some things don't need to be said out loud.
Which is, I think, actually, like, to his credit, if he still wants to preserve any type of appropriateness, you know, with this relationship.
Right.
In spite of, you know, his putting his hand on her naked womb and all that. I don't know. He was on, excuse my expression, he was on some real shit.
Yeah.
To me, the prayer and, like, being able to listen and have a dialogue with God instead of just rattling off, like you said, a laundry list. What else he was talking about? Some things really stuck out to me. But just kind of like, you know, being in sync.
Right. Right, and just like you mentioned, there's another scene where Esther comes and she says, you know, I've heard that you're a saint, that you can heal people. So she takes his hand and puts it on her stomach. But then she, like, unbuttons her whole shirt and mm-hmm. brings it up. And then, of course, Voiello and his spy are out in the garden snapping pictures and reading his lips.
With the telephoto lens, reading his lips, complete down to with, like, a, the lower thirds or the, what do you call it, the... What are you saying?
Yeah, complete with that. So, and that's the thing. Like, do you think that he knew that they were spying? Because some of the things that he said when he was doing that, he said, I'm incapable of, or I'm not a man, I'm a coward, like all priests, because he says that he loves God because it's too hard to love human beings. He's incapable of withstanding heartbreak, and then he says, I'm not a man, I'm a coward. Like all priests. And at that moment, Voiello's like, okay, stop, we're done.
He knows exactly what he's doing. The young Pope knows he's being watched.
Yeah.
He knows, just like he knew Gutierrez was going back and telling on him. And he knows what to say and when to say it. And that's what's so crazy. It's like this guy stays two steps ahead of everybody. And I don't know, I can't call it. I can't call it.
I know. So aside from that, I know we talked a little bit about Tommaso, but one thing he brings up in regards to Esther is that there's a rumor going around about Pope Pius and Esther, and he asks the Pope, what are you going to do about it? Or what do you intend to do about it? And he says, I intend to start a revolution. The hell does that mean?
I mean, to me, that's in keeping with this philosophy of, like, we have to root out the church, you know, like, from the ground up. And if that means, you know, two-thirds of the clergy ends up as corpses and there's blood on the ground, you know, we have to rebuild, destroy this place brick by brick and start fresh.
Gosh.
I know.
So that's going to be interesting to see what this revolution is.
Uh-huh.
One part of this episode that I really liked was when we finally got to see Pope Pius and Andrew together as adults. Because
mm-hmm.
I really liked that relationship.
I love them as friends, yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, as I said, the Pope was missing, guys. So, he goes to see Andrew, and they're out of cigarettes. So, they leave the Vatican to go get some. And it's a cool moment because the Pope is wearing, like, a, you know, like a sweatsuit. And he's just wandering around. And he's kind of, like, smiling, like, nobody knows he's the Pope, just, like, walking down the street like everybody else.
But at the same time, both of them look so out of place.
Oh, I know. So, and that's exactly what happens, because they go into this hotel, and I don't know if this was set up like this, or this just happened to happen, mm-hmm. or whatever, but, like, I don't know who this woman was, but I just
thought... And is that in Vatican City, or was it outside the Vatican City?
I think it was outside the Vatican, because I think they left the Vatican and came out.
A hooker?
Well, yeah, and that's what I was like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
And
then, I thought she was a call girl, escort.
So did I. Yeah. I thought she was a hooker, so I was like, okay. And, like, did they set this up? Because it was weird how all of it happened.
Oh, like Voiello, maybe he set it up? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. It was just, like, so weird how it all happened. So I didn't know mm-hmm. if Voiello set it up, Andrew set it up, Pope Pius set it up. I didn't know what happened
there. I think him and Andrew, this is what they do.
Yeah.
This is kind of how they, I don't want to say get off, but they, you know, they push it right up to the line with the temptation, and they go and have the cigarette, you know, with the escort, and she can look into his eyes and take his picture and say she sees God in his eyes.
Right.
And the one time I'm like, okay, where's this selfie going to end up? But the other side of me, the Pope knows what he's doing.
So that's exactly what I was thinking, because I was like, now she has this picture of him. But he's always said that he's, like, gotten every picture back, and nobody really knows who he is, so, and I don't know if she knows or not. I mean, she says that they look like priests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she calls them out. Yeah. She knows men, like, every type of man.
Well, and that's what she says. She says, like, I've seen priests before, and they think that, like, I'm, like, showing them heaven or God or whatever, but, like, I have proof of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she snaps the picture, and she's like, your eyes. Your eyes are proof of God. And it's just like, I don't know what that means. Like, is she really seeing something, or is it just a line of bullshit?
To me, it's the same thing that Sister Mary has saw in young Lenny since he was a child. That's why she rides with him so hard. She's like, okay, this guy's gifted, ordained.
So you think she really sees the same thing that Sister Mary's seeing?
Something. Everybody sees it.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, that's
but
how...
But he doesn't.
No, well, the Pope knows. I mean, that's why he's there. He's like, I'm finally here. They didn't know who they got. And I'm supposed to be here. Not them, but me.
Yeah.
That prayer is crazy, by the way. Yeah. Again, goes back to, like, as flawed and as conniving and as multi-layered as this cat is, God works in mysterious ways and uses mysterious vessels and vehicles for his will. I don't know.
So after they leave there, thank God, like, he didn't sleep with anybody because I was worried. They kind of go out and they're sitting on a bridge and they have a talk. And Andrew brings up what happened at Billy's house. So we saw some flashbacks where him and Andrew ran away when they were young, and they were looking in a window and they saw this kid taking care of this sick mother. And so she had passed away, and something happened that day in the house with his mother. And it seems like it was some type of miracle.
Case in point. That's why I think it had to do with Lenny. If he didn't lay direct hands on her, he was there. He was accomplice to the miracle because he's anointed. And people who've been around him know that about him.
Right. But he doesn't want to talk about it.
I mean, how much can he talk about it? You know, the thing is, he goes from extremes, too. He'll go from the extreme humility, it's not about me, to, like, yes, you know, it starts and stops with me.
Right.
Yeah, so... I mean, it's he plays a lot of games with words, but and we'll get into this later. One thing about keeps coming back to sex, but like a lot of the things, you know, were kind of like in the subtext before, but right now everything's overt. I mean, to me, you can just see everything right on the table what they're talking about.
Right. So they talk about that, and then they also talk about Andrew has like the secret that he wants to tell the Pope, and he says, I have something to tell you. I remember your mom. And she had long hair. Mm-hmm. It was parted down the middle. She had bright eyes, but they looked very sad. And the Pope said, that's exactly how I dream of her. Mm. Why didn't you tell me this? And he just said, I thought it would cause you too much pain. And the Pope says, it still causes me pain.
Which is, you know, like, it's going to always be his Achilles heel, you know, this separation anxiety that so many of us have. But with him, you know, multiplied times whatever, from getting abandoned by both parents, them walking into the orphanage, him remembering that, and even him, they're going to be there when I turn around. They're going to be there when I turn around, and they're gone when he says
that. I know, that was so sad.
So, I mean, back to James Cromwell.
Spencer.
He called him. I mean, he says, you know, you're still going to be that 9-year-old kid, and to an extent, lashing out at everybody, or making that problem everybody else's problem.
Right.
Somebody checks him, too. They're like, yo, the whole world isn't an orphanage. Everybody doesn't have the same issues as you do.
Right. And actually, now that you say that, I don't know if you guys end up watching the inside the episode, but one thing that they mention is that scene where he's baptizing the kids, because you can see that he doesn't want to do it, and he's like, do I really have to do this? And what they say in that scene is that shows that he really doesn't like kids, because it reminds him of his childhood. And so it's so funny, because in that scene he's just going through the motions. He's taking the kid and he's like, she takes after you, he takes after you, and then he's the third one, she takes after you, and he looks up and the baby's black and the mom's white, and he's like,
no matter what, I know he's adopted, but he still takes after you, he still takes after
exactly.
you, he cleaned it up real fast. It was hilarious. I love it.
So we see, like, he's just struggling with that still. I mean, we know that, but I didn't realize that it was, I mean, I realized it was super deep, but I didn't know that it, like, even...
That's how it manifested? It makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't think that just because you're an abandoned child that you wouldn't necessarily like children, but that's the way it reveals itself in his character.
Yeah. So the last part of the scene that we see with Andrew is that Andrew and the Pope come rolling back into the Vatican, and it's daylight. Like, they must have been out all night, and Sister Mary is sitting there waiting for them.
Because they've done this before.
Right.
She knows this. She's like, they'll be back. Don't worry, I got this. Yeah, like, let them get out the system.
Yeah, so I loved this moment, but there is something that makes me wonder. So they come in, she says nothing to them, she turns around, they start walking together, and she says, you know, I didn't tell the secretary that you guys were gone, and they said, you know, they're both smiling, and the Pope says, thank you, and they just look really happy, the three of them. But the thing is, she did tell him.
What do you mean?
she told Voyello that he was missing.
Oh, that's right. Did she did? She did tell him.
So then
she
I was didn't like, tell damn, the other. She didn't tell Mary, the other Carnos,
but
no,
yeah.
But she told him.
I forgot. That she... that slipped my mind. Okay, yeah. So that goes to show. Okay. Sister Mary, as much as she loves and believes in the young Pope, she has her doubts and thinks he still has to be held accountable for some things.
Yeah. Can we mention one other thing about Sister Mary?
Knock it out.
The two episodes, like, I forgot to mention it last week, but last week I forgot to mention it, and this week I'm going to mention it.
The shirt.
Yes, the shirt!
You just said it.
I know. I was like, I need to get that shirt and just, like, wear it to the episode, yeah. But her shirt is hilarious.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's so funny. So she has a shirt that says... I am a virgin, and then at the bottom it says, but this is an old shirt.
And she looks so cute in that Diane
Keaton,
man. I
know, and I'm just like, it's so funny because she's this nun, and she's at the Vatican, and she opens the door, and people see her, and I wonder what they think of the shirt.
I don't know. People got to have fun the way
it's
they can.
So funny.
You know, it goes from Gutierrez having his, you know, like, 50 bottles of gin and vodka under his bed, to the smallest thing of, you know, of like the t-shirt. You
right.
know, everybody's got to get their little, work out their little id rebellion in some form.
Exactly.
But everybody's flawed. That's the thing what I love about everybody's flawed.
Exactly. And I think that's something that I forget. Like, I see these people, like, this is all shocking to me because I'm like, there's no way a pope can do this or cardinals are alcoholics or a nun
goodness.
Is not
yeah.
a virgin. Like,
wait till we get to Pope trivia. Let me have that on deck.
Oh my gosh. I know. So like you said, Gutierrez, you know, he's an alcoholic. The Pope forgives him, and he reminds him that Voiello is not the most powerful I am.
Mm.
After he
say that one more time.
He says Voiello is not the most powerful, or I'm the most powerful, not Voiello.
Right.
When he's forgiving him for being an alcoholic.
Right.
And Gutierrez is tasked with the mission of going to the United States for this court case that's going on, and he's like scared. He's like, I've left the Vatican twice in my life. I don't know how to cross the street. I don't know how to get a hotel room. And then he. You know, the Pope's not going to let him off the hook. He wants him to go. And I can't tell if the Pope knows that Gutierrez is working with Voiello, not because Gutierrez wants to, or if he really does trust Gutierrez.
That's why he's sending him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both. I think he has total political and cynical reasons for sending him. But I don't know. I like Gutierrez because I want to see him grow.
Too.
And
yeah.
I want to see him get out, you know, and kind of join the world. And okay, the flashback. He has his vision. At first, I thought that was his mom, but you said Mary in your notes.
I assumed it was Mary. So
like,
when
like,
he's
okay.
like, yeah. Like,
Sister Mary or Mother Mary?
No, like Mother Mary.
Okay.
Yeah, like
the
I.
The Virgin, okay.
Yeah, the Virgin Mary. I don't know, I might be wrong, but
no,
when
could...
he's in the Vatican and he's talking and he's like having this vision, I just assumed it was Mary. And she tells him that I'll protect you, you'll be fine.
Everything always comes
but
back
you
to
thought
Mother
it was
Mary.
His mom.
I mean, yeah,
that's
for a split second, but it,
yeah.
the way it's portrayed, you're probably right because they, unless they show him again or his mom again, it really wouldn't make sense because everything comes back to the Mother Mary. And then there's a point like an intercessory prayer when the Pope is praying with Esther, he calls her, you know, but our God is the Lord of Madonnas, and they have all these different names, you know, for Mary. It's crazy.
So, one of the last scenes, we see, well, getting back to the song that we opened up with today, the Pope is getting ready to address the cardinals,
mm-hmm.
and he is, like, getting decked the hell out. Like, he is putting his...
Pimped out.
Yeah, he's putting his, like, nicest outfit on. It has, like, every detail down to the shoes, and I know you looked into the shoes.
Yeah, okay, the Pope's shoes. People thought the Pope's shoes were made by Prada for a long time.
Yeah.
I forget the Pope who started wearing the red shoes first, but it became a thing where they'd be designed and half handcrafted by this expensive leather. And, you know, it's like a thing now.
Yeah.
And that's and really, it's his thing, too, along with the jewelry, the big tiara,
yeah.
you know, the chunked out jewelry. You know, he's bossing up and he's letting everybody know it.
Yeah, he like comes out like larger than life. He has all this, this
regalia
stuff.
Yeah,
and just like you said, the jewels on his hand, and he has his tiara flown in. I don't know if that's like the right word for it, but that's what they were calling it.
Yeah.
But he has it like helicoptered in, and it's so funny to see him all did up, and then he's like smoking a cigarette before he goes out, and then they bring him in on this thing like he's. Fucking Cleopatra or some shit.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
what is going on? Does this happen? Like,
I think it does.
It's so ridiculous and over the top.
But how surreal is it, though, too, along with so many other points
in
this film?
That is true, though. If he just rolled up in, it would be like, okay, that's no big deal. We've seen the Pope walk in a room before. But he comes out, and they're carrying him up. But he's, like, standing up there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's him. You know, I mean, he's gonna be the Pope who's standing. You know.
So, what did you think of the speech that he gave to the cardinals?
No tolerance. I don't know if he said no forgiveness, but basically he was saying like no second chances.
Right.
You mess up and you're out. We have been too tolerant.
Yeah.
And that's where this new Pope, kind of took everybody by surprise, because he wants to push the church back religiously,
right,
to its more traditional roots and less accepting of today's mores and values.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He says that this has become too popular. He doesn't want these people that are like in a half acid. He wants fanatics of God.
He literally said that he wants fanatics.
Yeah.
Fanatics, that was funny.
He said he, you know, wants people that are going to love and like be devoted to God. And exactly, he's gonna compromise is banished. He deleted it, he said. No more tolerance. So he gives this whole speech about this, and he says, don't look to the outside world. Like, we're all staying here. We're the cement of this church. Almost like, I felt like trapped. I felt like they're not allowed out. And then I immediately thought of Voiello and Girolamo, I think his name is, the boy that he goes to visit. And I'm like, are they literally going to get locked in the Vatican and they can't leave? And then he's not going to go visit his best friend.
I didn't even think about them being physically confined. I mean, that's interesting.
I'm such a black and white thinker. That's how I thought of it. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what actually happens.
Yeah. No, it's definitely the whole orientation had a claustrophobic feel.
Yes, you know. It did. And then at the end, he says, this Pope cannot be blackmailed. And I was just like, that's just a shot of Voiello, I guess, and everybody who's like, but like that had nothing to do with it. And then comes the part where they have to like come up and kiss his feet, which I also don't know if this is something that happens. But first, Spencer stands up and he puts his hat down. I'm like, shit, he's quitting. Like, I thought he quit.
Okay.
Did you not?
No.
You knew? You knew how it was going to go, because I was like,
I just kind of suspected.
Yeah,
but,
so he put his hat down and he came up.
But yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen next week?
Exactly. So he kisses his feet, and then Andrew's the next person.
Uh-huh.
And then Voiello comes up, and he goes to kiss, and he just is like looking up at the Pope, and the Pope takes his other foot and pushes his head down.
He loves it. I mean, like, it could have gotten better if he took him to a drive-in movie and put his head under the dash.
I know. I mean, at this point, he's, like, owning Voiello so bad. So it was really interesting. But a few things I do want to mention. I know we don't have tons of time, and I know we want to get to the interesting Pope facts.
Okay.
But one thing I wanted to bring up was the Prime Minister of Greenland, because that whole thing was weird to me. Because I was just like, what is this woman's purpose? Like, why did we have to see this moment? And then also, at the end of the fourth episode, they had somebody dancing. I would assume it's her.
Yeah,
and then they give that little snippet about Greenland.
Yeah, well, the Greenland is the whole, like, metaphor. Here's the allegory. Okay, well, first of all, this Pope, Mr. Hetero, manly man, he's like, yo, you know, what's up with all the, you know, all of my cardinals flocking around this one, you know, gay assistant?
Yeah.
And he's like, the feminine form needs to be appreciated more.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, Sophia, on one hand, I think she's kind of salty, she's kind of jealous,
yeah,
you know, that he notices the Prime Minister. But on the other hand, she's like, be careful, you know, like, stay in your own lane, you know, don't stick your nose out there too far about the homosexuality stuff. Yeah, because, I mean, like, yeah, that,
well, again, that's what she says to him, too.
Yeah. And I was going to say, back to the Prime Minister. I don't necessarily know what she represents, but it goes back to the Pope's, his high regard for heterosexuality and male and female and the female form and the male appreciating that. Because it was basically that whole 5 minutes of conversation was them appreciating each other physically.
Do you think they were appreciating each other?
Oh, my God. Like, the sex vibes were popping off the room. And he's like...
Because I thought he was, like, kind of being condescending.
Okay. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But also, she's from Greenland. So, if you think of her as Greenland, like a block of ice, he's like, I wonder what's under that block of ice.
Okay.
You know, what's really going on? You know?
All right.
And then she's like... Well, it's very mysterious.
Well,
you know?
I didn't think of it that way, but now that you say that,
because you have a dirty mind like me.
Yeah. But now that you say that, it makes sense because she is wearing like the black, yeah. And it stands out.
And I'm trying to find that word that he used. She says some people think that Greenland is an island, but actually, there's another theory that people call it an archipelago, where I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but which means like a group of islands. But yeah. She's talking about once you get below the surface, you know, it's mysterious. And he's like, yeah, I know. That's where you find God.
Yeah.
Bam. And like, I just saw, I don't know. She was
Al
like,
is figuring it out.
She was
for
like,
me.
Sploosh.
So why the end with the little snippets about Greenland and her dancing and them talking about how Greenland, people in Greenland love to dance? It's just so random.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We can get into the psychology of people who live in cold environments and, yeah. You know, how they like to express themselves and perhaps overcompensate. And maybe they're like they're the funniest, sexiest people. But I'm sorry to harp on the sex thing, but I got to take it to that scene. We left off where Sophia goes in the Pope's bathroom.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
So it's so funny because they also talked about that in Inside the Episode, but they didn't really mention anything about that. They just showed that scene, and they said that Sophia shows the Pope's modern side. Mm-hmm. Because they say that he is young in appearance, but old in his thoughts. Mm-hmm. But his interactions with Sophia show his younger side, and it shows the part where she mentions, I can't remember what she mentions, and he like does that...
No, she checks him. She's like, yo, keep it in your pants, buddy. Or stop asking about everybody else's sexuality.
Yeah.
But before that, when they're yes. in the bathroom, she goes, come on, man. Everybody, she goes in there first. She knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing.
It's not like a unisex bathroom. She goes in the Pope's bathroom. The Pope's
yes.
private bathroom. Putting on red lipstick.
Yeah. She has some balls, though. Could you imagine? That would be like going in the president's bathroom.
Yeah. No, he basically calls her reckless. He calls her out, but at the same time, she knows what she's doing. The way the whole scene was shot, he's sitting off to the side. She's looking in the mirror, putting on the lipstick, and in the mirror reflection, you can see him checking out her
ass. I know.
Ass.
I gotta go back. I gotta go back.
He literally does the...
I have to go back and check that out. So we don't have much time left. So that basically wraps up our wrap up
okay.
of those two episodes. So in the meantime, since Joelle is not here with us this episode, yeah, we'll see her back next week. Al is going to read some Pope facts for
okay.
us because he surprised me.
All right, yeah, here we go. Well, first of all, we neglected to say there were like so many memes put out about the show before it even was released in HBO in America. You know, it was all throughout Europe. It had already screened, and people were making like these funny like juxtaposed photographs. You know, before it even came out, before it even knew what to call it. So this show has a crazy reputation. It is polarizing, and I think it's great for conversation. So besides the I guess like its internet presence, we're going to talk about Pope John the 12th. And we're talking about the popes getting freaky and getting their swerve on. It's only a matter of time. Lots of popes got their freak on in the Vatican, which is insane considering they officially were all celibate. But Pope John XII may have embraced his libido more than any of his contemporaries. He became pope at only 18 and immediately developed a reputation for rape and deviant sexual activity.
What? He became a pope at 18 years old?
He allegedly raped his two sisters regularly.
Oh, my God.
Ordained as a 10-year-old bishop, because why not? You know, he refused to make the sign of the cross and invoked pagan gods and symbolism and gambled in sacred places.
So wait, time out. Like, are these real stories?
These are real stories.
How long was this guy pope for?
Here, let me see. I'll just skip down to the end. Okay, St. Peter and St. Paul, when not getting his freak on, he enjoyed arbitrary torturing and castrating cardinals. Okay, so I don't know how much time that took, but...
Oh, my God.
His nine-year reign began in 955 and ended in 964 after he was murdered by a jealous husband
wow.
who caught the Pope in bed with his wife, which, to be honest,
and he
is probably...
The Pope?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's funny. Which is, to be honest, probably the way he wanted to go out in bed. That's classic. Shout out to Joelle for finding this.
So, wow, that is so crazy. Mm. I sometimes, like, am hard on the Catholic religion for being so, like, conservative, but they've come a long way.
Here we go. Shout out to that whole, like, idea of Greenland being cold and refined and repressive. When people say the same thing about a lot of religions, or Mormon religion, or yeah, people who are too far the religious right, that's when you see all the freaky shit on the underside.
Yeah. So, before we go, next week, we see, it must be leaders of another religion coming and telling Pope Pius, we want your resignation. Mm-hmm. Esther looks like she's in birth. Like, she's giving birth. Yeah. She's in labor.
Yeah.
I see the Pope rocking some sunglasses, which I was like, you look like a badass.
Probably smoking a cigarette, like, yeah, I did this.
He is, like, demanding something of Andrew, which we'll see what that's all about. And then we see Voiello question the Pope, who are you? So all of that and more
next week.
I can't wait. So thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. Be sure to like and comment on our videos on YouTube, because we will write back to you. And I love to discuss the show because there's so many questions that I have for you guys. So please comment. And be sure to subscribe to AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. And until next week, I'm Jesse Zahner, and you can find me on all social media at Athletic. And really quick before I go, I wanted to give a shout out to Nicholas Granice, who was writing to us last week on YouTube and on Twitter. So thanks so much, Nick, for watching. And I'll tell them where they can find you guys.
Yeah,
you?
Thanks everybody for following us. Make sure and comment on all our social media and spread around the link. But I'm Al Gragg. You can find me at SoundClashCine or on Instagram at Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm.
And remind them about your Path After Show.
Oh, well, that didn't work out. I think they got put on hold. Yeah. But
all right. Well, then you're going to have to wait for more Al
more
later.
To come.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next week. See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.